So, number seven is regarding concerned travel. As you know, Coach, we've asked them to do the consultation paper. They brought their report back to us, we took on board their comments, and as such, a recommendation, I recommended to Cabinet that we grant fund the NHS an annual sum of 60,000 within the existing adult social care budget, with the room that this will use to support patient travel. The scope of eligibility for this funding will be determined by the other way NHS trust, and that's the decision at full Cabinet.
Of course.
Okay.
Thank you. Chair, did you want to make any comments on your report?
I can never refuse to make a comment. Just to say that the real beliefs of the council is continuing this funding as listening to people. Just to stress again that the report we produced comes also other issues, so it's not just about money. And we can't lose sight of that. So it's about the toll that it takes when people have to travel on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, which is very difficult. It's about the lack of information around other funding streams. So a lot of people aren't aware of the NHS funding schemes, how to access them. So there's still work to be done to support people that have to travel on a regular basis.
Martin. Thank you, Chair. Firstly, you know, thank you for the decision that's taken, because that gives us the opportunity to consider the recommendation in the Health Watch report, which I think is the right recommendation, because there's a lot of, quite clearly there's a lot of passion and an anxiety around how do we support travel for patients that require treatment off island. And the recommendation to bring together an independent view on what should be funded and how that will be resourced, you know, gives the opportunity to the health and social care partners and other partners on the island to consider what that needs to look like, because we are all constrained, but not only by budgetary constraints, but also by other constraints that we work within. So there are nationally mandated transport schemes that the NHS provides. And what this report tells us is that a lot of people don't know about them. So there's a communication aspect there that needs to be enhanced. But the island cannot unilaterally make a decision to fund care out of the rules of the NHS. But what it can do is it can commission an independent review to look at what those options need to look like. So in response to the continuation of funding from the local authority, we have had discussions amongst ourselves about how we do this. And I'll be engaging with, hopefully, with Health Watch and other partners in the very near future to try to commission, or we will commission, an independent entity that will be given a scope of work to identify what the people think that there should be health provided for, what is the scope of that, and how that might be means tested, because there will need to be some form of means testing to allow for us to hopefully progress with this very important matter, but where people have got their voice heard and there is some independence given to any decisions being taken.
One of the things that came back in during the consultation is, once again, our communication to the general public is not at the level that it should be. I've been to the patient experience meetings, I've been to the so-called travel meetings, and there's lots of really good talk there, and good talk about schemes and stuff like that, and producing the leaflet that goes into the GP surgery. You know, I'm sorry, but when my dad had his diagnosis of cancer, the last thing on his mind at the time that he was to worry about was how he was going to get back and support for his radiotherapy. So I keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and I think we all go to carry on pushing to make sure that some easy communication when you are, you know, when you are having a very difficult time is produced. People know what's available to them. the simple things that can be answered, like if you go over on the car, as long as the captain knows, you don't have to get out of your car. You know, we shouldn't still be having those struggles when people are so desperately ill. So I think that's one of the things I completely agree with Joe. One of the things that we need to do is make sure it's communicated to the residents of the island what is available for them.
Just if I may add, most patients aren't told by their GP their diagnosis, they're told by hospital consultants. So we need to be more forthright in terms of engaging with the hospital consultants, wherever they may be, to encourage the referral into the Macmillan service and other services for these are the sorts of help, this is the sort of help that you can access.
Can I just say that one of the things that we were quite clear from the health watch is that we need to not just focus on cancer, you know, things like, you know, we've got brain injuries and stuff like that, but that wide picture, you know, of, I always will bring this example, I've never mind what it was too, and, you know, perforated appendix, and we ended up in Southampton General Intensive Care for a week, you know, and suddenly she's at the intensive care and can go home now. You know, you're not thinking straight at that point. You're certainly not thinking, how do I get too blocked by the house when I'm in hospital with them? So it's that wider picture we're talking about as well, and I beg granted, but, you know, expressing from the that is that wider picture that we're really looking at.
It sounds like this has been a really good bit of work by Health Watch again, and it's very reassuring to see the speed that it's been picked up by partners to address it. Now we've got Michael, John, and then Rodney.
Can I first thank you, Claire, and everyone involved. And a particular thank you, I think, for the excellent work of Health Watch in, you know, developing this, and I thank the Cabinet for taking the time and making the decision they have. So I'm not here in that critical moment at all because it's a positive result. I think one of the things, I think on section 72 and 73 in the actual your report, Claire, there's an important point that I mentioned here about, you know, where people are unable to travel as foot passengers. You know, there needs to be, you know, more scope on this. And in 73, the reality is going to be more and more travelling. So this is an expanding issue that we need to look. And it also comes back to your point about how expensive that piece of water is within that. And I think the particular point that going to Joe's report, because there's some very interesting things you picked up about better information, I think. I would like to see training, like you said, consultants and the people who are on the front line, who are dealing with people who are really in pain, as Claire, you know, described, who can't necessarily look at a leaflet and then. They need a very empathetic voice to say, actually, there is a way that you'll be helped and everything, and I can do something like that, and I can actually give a letter or something to actually help that. We need this really in a package at the source when someone is coming, especially if people are going to the consultants on the mainland. They need to know they're dealing with islanders who have this problem, and that they, you know, they need to have that source of time and not be, well, it's not my case or not my problem. So I think if we can encourage some form of training or briefing for the people on the coal face that are going to be faced with people who are going to be in that predicament, I think that would actually help.
Good point, Michael. Let's hear what they're sort of saying.
Can I just make one thing here? That we can't just assume that the acute services review is going to mean that more people are travelling. We have to take into account an awful lot of things that are actually evolving. You know, yes, I might use personal circumstances sometimes, but it makes things quite real for me. You know, my daughter is at Exeter University and has quite severe autoimmune disease, and a lot of her appointments she has been able to have by Skype. you know, she hasn't had to travel up to Exeter. You know, that's the type of things that we need to take on board. But, you know, we always assume that you have to go to the hospital to have those follow-ups, and that's part of the review that's been, you know, I'm not the expert in it, but I send enough meetings and, you know, I'm awake and listening. So, you know, we do need to take into account that we might not have as many journeys if we look at it sensibly. You know, do you have to have your follow-up? Do you have to go to Southampton for a blood test? You know, all those things we need to take into account that you don't need to do. So it's about reducing the journeys as well. One of the ideas that has been noted, and I think it's an exceptionally good idea because I'm a great fan of the voluntary sector and commissioning them to do things, because, you know, I think it should be in an AME council, is to have a voluntary sector like a travel shop. That we can actually have a part of the voluntary sector that can be that advice and guidance specifically for travel. You know, what we need to do is that's just one of the ideas of vision. But one of these things that has done has really opened that line of communication, that we've made a commitment with the local authority and so have the CCG to be, and the trust to discuss it further. And, you know, and that's thanks to Health Watch. I just want to add one thank you as well, though, because otherwise I might get kicked from adult social care, which is to Laura Gordian and to Kathy Glover, who spent a long time putting this report together. And I think they did it in a very balanced way as well. So thank you, Jo, for giving them the information to work with it. But it wouldn't be right if I didn't thank adult social care as well.
Thank you, Claire. John.
Thank you, Chair. And can I agree with what Michael just said, because I'd like to thank Claire for the good job made of this and the Joanna. But I want to talk about following on. You know, I would like to see somehow that within the health centres around the island there's somebody that can explain things to people from there, where they're going to go, how it's going to happen. We've all got this fear when things happen of how we're dealing with it. And when this thing comes up, dealing with something is difficult because your mind's all over the place. You're trying to deal with your diagnosis of what's your problem, and then you have the same thing, you're trying to do the diagnostic for travelling. And it really wants some, it's like travelling on British Road all over England, that you don't know whether you go that way, how much you pay, how much it is, it really wants someone to break it down into a book, easy package, so that people actually understand it. The same with their diagnosis of their diseases, they need to break it down. I mean, we all know somebody that's got cancer, we all know somebody that's suffering, and we always wish that we could help them to understand it. But everything you do, you there, Joanne, do a wonderful job of putting all this together, and then it needs someone to actually simplify it to give it to the patients. I've done.
I completely agree with it. It does go back to what Martin says. I can tell you the day, the time, and the place at the hospital with a lovely senior practitioner up there who her name was Anne Snow, that was it. And I remember the day and time that my mum and I were sat with my dad, and we got told that, yes, you know, this was his diagnosis. I think what we have to do is have that open discussion of when, at that point, are you able to digest this information? And that's a really important part of that journey. You know, we should work to all have, you know, a leaflet that's handed out or something like that. You know, it could be when you go back to speak to your GP, because it's that person that you know really well. It could be at that moment of diagnosis. So there is that bigger picture. When is the right time to explain to people what is going on, and also how they travel, if they have to travel, etc. So there is, but as I said, you know, it has opened that open conversation now. You know, it's like we've all nudged ourselves in the right direction.
Thank you.
Can I just say that I think it's like your child, isn't it? When a child goes to school and they ask you a question, you bring up the answers so they can understand it. And I think that's the same thing here.
Completely, because there is quite a lot on offer, but when is the right time to have that? You know, how can we get those? And that, I have sat through patient travel experience meetings, and there is lots of discussions about the frequently asked questions and stuff like that. What I haven't seen yet is that leaflet being produced and being circulated, and that's something we really do need to push forward as a matter of urgency.
Thank you. It sounds like the view pushing it there, it's going to happen.
I was just going to add that I think whilst this was been a very emotive process, what it has done is it's galvanised all of the partners to a point that where you got to, which is how do we make this become a reality? And rather than one party system suggesting they're expert, because we're not, I think the recommendation from the report to say provides a frame for us to be able to engage with the larger sector members to say what should it look like and how do we do it. There's a whole load of sort of questions that are created in this, such as, you know, where do people access information, where do they fit to be able to absorb information, and these issues will be something that will be commissioned as we progress through the implementation of some of the changes that we're looking to make over the next year or so. But please be rest assured that travel and the consequences of travel will be at the heart of the decisions that need to be taken.
Thank you, Martin. Carol.
So I'll be brief. The key issue that we have, in addition to what's already been said tonight, is how can we best support those people who are just over that limit for transport support from the NHS in terms of eligibility for that. Those are, you know, yes, we need to get the comms out for those people who are eligible for free transport under the NHS's own scheme. But it's those people who are just marginally above that really, really needs to hone our collective attention.
Thank you for that, Carol. Right, we've got Rodney and then George.
Well, thank you, Chair.
And I'll just like to thank Claire and Joanna for sterling work. Thank you very much indeed. We discussed various ways, and Michael and John have spoken about ways of getting information to people. I don't know what to say to that, really, because you need to be empathetic, of course, but in these days of instant information, and very encased in very complicated terms in some ways, the information must be simple and basic, because that's what people understand. I think we've got, in this modern age, I think we've got right away from that, and people don't take the time to talk to each other. Conversations. And that's what I think people would appreciate. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Rodney.
Right, George.
Thank you, Chairman. I value this paper. I think it's very good, and well done to everybody who's had input into it. I was a bit worried with the thought of Barry losing this funding and what would happen to these people who need travelling. So my question would be, would there be some consistency between the partners of retaining this funding to keep the service going, or will we be back next year or the year after to look at the possible withdrawal of this funding again? And that's what worries me. And also Carol's point about the means testing, if that could be looked at sympathetically with some people, they'd value that as well. Thank you.
My response to that is, I said thank you for the council giving us some breathing space, because we do know that this needs to be addressed within the next 12 months. So I don't think there's any expectation that the funding will continue for a year further beyond what's been agreed. But there needs to be some resources made available. Yeah. So that's the conversation that we're stimulating now.
Thank you.
Right, thank you very much. Another good discussion. So we'll move on to item